I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Ready, Utah. In-depth coverage with David Dujanovic.
We appreciate our partnership with Division of Emergency Management here in the state of Utah. Wade Matthews back with us right now. As September is National Preparedness Month, so I'm looking forward to finding out how I can be prepared regarding like home hazards and emergency or earthquake preparedness, Dave.
Yeah, I've learned a few things in the conversations we've had in the last little bit. Wade Matthews with Utah Division of Emergency Management. Wade, we've seen like several earthquakes kind of in the region. We had that big one down in northern Arizona. That was a magnitude 4. The folks in St. George felt that one. A handful of smaller ones in Yellowstone, even a couple of 2s in Magna. But I think since we had kind of that big one here in Utah, I think for a very long time we knew earthquakes were a possibility. Now it kind of brought it home now that we've experienced one.
Earthquakes are our biggest risk to widespread disaster and damage in Utah. Yes, we have wildfires and floods and all these other things. We have tornadoes. But when we have a magnitude 7 quake on the Wasatch Fault, we're all going to know it. We're all going to be suffering from it for months or possibly years during that recovery process. So, yeah, that's what we're preparing for.
Now, a 7 sounds so high, but Mexico was hit with a 7.7 earthquake on Monday. Another one this morning hit 7.6. So this happens. It's not common. Obviously, we haven't had one, certainly in our lifetime, of that magnitude. But they do. They do happen.
Right, and we've done studies recently a couple years ago jointly with the Utah Geological Survey and U of U seismograph stations and others that determined that we have a 50% chance of a magnitude 6.5 to 7.5 earthquake happening on the Wasatch Front within the next 50 years. We're overdue. We've said that for a long time, but mm-hmm. We could have a big one within the next 50 years.
Wade Matthews, Public Information Officer of the Utah Division of Emergency Management. So let's get into the home hazards. What do we need to be looking out for?
Yeah, we talk about, you know, National Preparedness Month and the theme being a lasting legacy. And what do you think about that? That's our homes. That's our families. We want to protect those things. And in an earthquake, home hazard hunt means, first of all, I like to recommend checking your water heater. Is it fastened to the wall? That was code in 2005, but just for peace of mind, go check it. Make sure it's fastened to the studs in the wall or just the bare concrete if it's in the basement.
Why is that important?
You don't want that to tip over, break a gas line, cause a gas leak, a fire, an explosion. Plus, there's 40, 50 gallons of water in there that's drinkable in a water situation.
Nice. Okay, so we're going to start with that.
You talk about a home hazard hunt. What is that?
Yeah, that's going around the house and looking for things that are hazardous or could be hazardous if they're not mitigated, for one, like the water heater. For two, tall furniture. You want to see if you got bookshelves, curio cabinets, china cupboards that need to be fastened to the wall using L brackets, or they come with these little nylon straps that you fasten to studs in the wall, not just the
sheetrock, right.
But the studs in the wall so that keeps them from falling over on and injuring us. Protecting that legacy.
Dave was talking about his kids' bedrooms, and I'm worried that perhaps there's some hazards over their beds.
You go through the house and see if you have any shelves over your beds that have heavy objects, you know,
trophies,
books, toys, whatever that could fall on you in the nighttime while you're sleeping. When an earthquake happens, move those things. Another thing that could be part of a hazard hunt would be putting a flashlight and good pair of shoes by your beds so that you can see when the power's out and put good shoes on and protect your feet after the glass is broken.
It's done. I've got two flashlights by my bed and a pair of shoes under the bed. Done. Winter
Just put
shoes
it in
too.
A backpack, Deb. My goodness. Drop, cover, and hold on. Walk us through that.
That is the protective action. As we're going through and conducting a home hazard hunt, look at those places where we would drop, cover, and hold on in an earthquake, meaning drop to the floor, crawl underneath some sturdy furniture like a desk, table, a chair, hold on to the legs till the shaking stops because that's going to keep that overhead rather than bouncing around and bouncing away from you. So you hold on to it, giving us that cover from falling objects, which is the biggest cause of injury and death in an earthquake.
Okay. Wade Matthews, Public Information Officer, Utah Division of Emergency Management, always joining us for Be Ready segments that we talk about how to keep your life in order just in case. All right. I don't have any furniture to get under in my bedroom. So if this thing happened in the middle of the night and I was rudely awakened by the shaking of the ground, then what?
So drop, cover, and hold on in that case means you just stay in bed and you pull your pillow over your head to protect your face and head from this falling objects, light fixtures, glass, those types of things. If you don't have – if you're in another room, daytime hours, whatever, even – this applies to the business, to schools, wherever you're at. If you don't have a desk, table, a chair to get underneath of, kneel down against a wall that doesn't have any glass overhead. Cover your head and neck with your arms and hands and just kind of lean against that wall until the shaking stops, preferably an interior wall that will hopefully be standing still. You know, if you're driving, pull over on the side of the road. Try not to stop under bridges, overpasses, power lines, and trees, and just stay in the car. So drop, cover, and hold on means a lot of things based on your situation and your condition. If you're in a wheelchair or a walker, just lock the wheels and stay in the chair.
Here at Broadcast House, we're downtown, just a couple of blocks away from the Salt Lake Temple. And you can see massive renovations going. They're making it more and more earthquake-proof. Can you speak in general to the preparedness of our buildings?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a concern along the Wasatch Front for unreinforced masonry buildings. Those are buildings built with brick and mortar that did not have any steel reinforcement, rebar, etc. Those have a higher risk of crumbling and falling and causing injury and death in an earthquake. So home hazard hunt or mitigation would also include having a contractor come in and making sure it's not unreinforced masonry, or if it is, to mitigate that by making sure it's fastened to the foundations or if the roof is fastened to the walls, which was not always the case in older construction.
Really?
Up until 1975 is when they stopped using unreinforced masonry.
So the roof in some homes might not be attached?
Exactly.
Oh, it's just sitting on top.
Just sitting on top. So when you're re-roofing your house, that's a great time to check it and make sure that that's fixed.
That's an eye-opener.
Absolutely.
I had no idea. What year do...
75?
Pre-75.
Well, my... Yeah, I mean, a lot of homes I've lived in around here are pre-1975. So that's... Why didn't I know that before? Hopefully the home inspectors, we were buying the home, was checking for that.
Let's talk about the Great Utah Shakeout.
Yeah,
it's you guys have been doing it for a long time. Walk us through that.
So that is an annual event that we have. It's actually a nationwide event. But in Utah, we conduct that in April, which is a few months away. So now's the time to start thinking about participating in the Great Utah Shakeout, which is just a drop, cover, and hold on drill for the state. Wherever you're at, on the third Thursday of April, drop, cover, and hold on for a few minutes for an imaginary earthquake. The more we practice this, you know, we talk about that, it becomes just second nature to us. We don't have to panic and think about, what do I do? The ground is shaking. We just know, drop, cover, and hold on. It will save lives.
I will be honest. I kind of made fun of the Great Shakeout. Like, I always thought, oh, this is hilarious. And then when we had our earthquake, I did everything wrong because I think I minimized it. I didn't want to think about the bad stuff that could happen, so you kind of dismiss it. Now I'm, like, hyper-focused.
And it's a great time to teach our kids that as well, because we think about it, it's too scary. We don't want to scare people when we're talking about this and practicing it. But no, it is kind of fun. You talk about getting under there in an imaginary earthquake, but it takes the the fear out of it as well.
It does. When you're prepared, you're trained, then it does. It takes away some of that. Wade Matthews, thank you so much for joining us, Public Information Officer at the Utah Division of Emergency Management. If you have questions about emergency preparedness and you're not quite sure where to start, what an incredible resource this is. Find the answers at beready.utah.gov.
Thanks, Wade. Appreciate it. We can find more information on that website. I'm going to go through that checklist this weekend. I got a little time, so I'm going to make sure that's all taken care of. So,
yeah, my
pleasure.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks for having us.
I'm going to double check my water heater, but I'm pretty sure it's attached. It's attached to the wall.
It was code in 2005, but it's a good thing to check.
I think I'm in good shape.
I got to remove the guillotine that's above my kid's bed. Apparently, I've just got that thing loaded
up. Take care of that soon. Okay, straight ahead, the National Transportation Safety Board, i.e. the feds, recommending that all new cars manufactured in the U.S. be required, Dave, you're going to love this, to have a blood alcohol monitoring system installed.
Don't love it.
Bad idea. What? Just wait 5 minutes.
I don't love it.
Wait.
Listen.
4 minutes. All right.
Don't love it.
Good idea. Bad idea. This is ripe for Dave and Debbie Differ. Next.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.